Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm reading verses 1 through 3. And it says, "For everything there is a season." Say season. "A time for," and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, "a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up." I want you to listen to these verses in the Amplified Bible. "There is a season, an appointed time for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven." What is a season? According to the dictionary, makes it very plain. It's one of the four quarters of time that the year is most commonly divided. A season is a period of time that is characterized by particular circumstances or activities. A season is an indefinite period of time. Now, I know here on the East Coast, we know winter and spring and summer and fall. And the dates on the calendars tell us when it starts and it tells us when it ends. But for this lesson, we're looking at what God calls a season. So today, the title of the message is Changing Seasons. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading in the New King James Bible, and it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit," say bear fruit, "he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So how do we bear fruit? Remaining, abiding in the vine. Verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Now you may wonder, what does fruit bearing or pruning have to do with a season? Quite often, through seasons, God's pruning. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 in the New Living Translation says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more." Verse 8 in the New Living Translation, "When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." What does it mean to prune? It means to cut off, to cut back parts that are dead, unproductive, so that there is growth, there's better shape, there is more fruit. To prune means to remove anything that is considered undesirable. So natural examples of pruning: a plant. Often when a plant is dying or it's not full, they will cut off or trim the dead leaves. In extreme cases, a plant has to be replanted. Ladies, you can identify with this. What happens when you have breakage in your hair if you have a good hairdresser? She cuts it or he cuts it. Why? Because it will stop the breakage, but it's going to promote new growth. It's a healthy means of treating your hair. That's a form of pruning. So God said today's message is changing seasons. Change is a word sometimes we don't really like to hear, is it? We get comfortable, right? And if our season is comfortable, if our season is peaceful, if our season is enjoyable, it's like, don't touch it, God. Leave it alone. I'm good. But we're going to see when we look at these verses a little later in the Amplified Bible, God is always pruning. So our lives are consecutive seasons that we're walking through. And as we are walking through them, guess what God is doing? Why? To promote growth. Because you will get to a level, and if you stay there, you stop growing. Our purpose in this earth is to represent Jesus, to be a witness for him. But we are to be ever learning, ever growing, and ever producing. Change. What does it mean? It means to make different, to alter, to transform, to present a different position, a different course, a different direction. And this one is key. To change means to make a shift in your perspective. Now, every one of us, I don't care if you're 5 years old, if you're 95 years old, every one of us has gone through seasons in life, right? Some of us are walking through seasons that we're saying, okay, God, could you put the end date on the calendar? I'm just done with this season. Some of us are believing God for the seasons that he's talked to us about when we were in previous seasons, when he told us about things that were yet to come. Yet where we are now, we're looking and saying, this ain't it, Father. Where is that season? But there are many, many, many seasons in life that we can go through. And this is just a list. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a most familiar, common list that most people experience throughout the course of their life. These revolve around changes, making adjustments, things being different, learning how to do things a different way, embracing a new mindset, birth of a child, death of a loved one or a close friend, marriage, divorce, starting a new career, changing or ending of a job or a career, relocating to a new home or a new location, the loss of a home, starting at a new church, leaving your church, graduating from school, starting a new level of education, and you're not under 21. Beginning a new relationship, the ending of a relationship, financial, physical, and or emotional lack of finances, attacks on health, attacks on finances, opposition, conflicts, adversities, afflictions, persecutions. Those are all seasons, and they require us to do certain things. One of them is to remain steady as a Christian, that we know that we are walking through a season in life. There are things we're going to learn. There are things we're going to grow in. There are things we're going to have to accept. Not the negative, but Father, what is it that I am to glean and grow and apply in this season? How do I walk out of this season better than when I came in? What is it that I am going to glean from this season that I can use to help someone else? Some seasons are preparation. And they don't always have this glowing glitter light saying preparation. Sometimes you're in the thick of it, in the midst of it, and you're like, what in the world is going on? But as we hold fast to God and trust him that he's walking with us through the season, There will come the day, the week, the month, the year that God will remind you of what you gleaned in that season that you could not wait to get out of. And then he will show you how it not only benefited you, but it's to help someone else. As Christians, changing of seasons requires us to continually look to, or as John tells us, abide in God. Remain connected to God for guidance, for direction, as we exit one season and we enter another. Whether you are currently in what you call a comfortably good season, everything is flowing, or you're enduring an uncomfortable season, and it's long, or you're entering a season that is unfamiliar and it's uncertain, and you're saying, I don't like this, I don't have a roadmap, but you know this is the way you're supposed to go. Whatever season you find yourself in, whatever season you are exiting out of and entering into, it requires us as Christians to remember certain foundational principles of our lives as Christians in Christ. The first principle, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. I'm primarily going to be in the New Living Translation. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit. When we were born again, whose spirit did we receive? When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba, Father. Translation, we can call him Daddy. With no lack of respect. Why? Because we are children of God. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So no matter what season you are in, no matter what season you're walking out of, always remember you are a child of God. Next foundational principle, Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 38, and it says out of the New King James Bible, now the just shall live by faith. And I'll stop right there. Everything about our Christian life requires what? I don't care how good your life may be right now. You still got to trust God. You still have to believe God. You still have to hold fast to God. Why? That is the core foundation of our Christianity. How did we come into Christ? By faith. We actually had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, we had to confess it, but we had to exercise faith. And guess who gave us the faith? So no matter where you are in your walk, everything about your life, the core foundation is based on your faith. Next principle. Always remember, God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. John chapter 15, verse 1, we read it already. Jesus said, what were we supposed to do? Remain or abide in him. Well, if we are remaining or abiding in him, where's he? God is in us. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. This is a reference. One of the things he asked the Father, he prayed for not just his current disciples, but for those who would believe on him through their testimony. And he said, Father, I desire that they be in me as I am in you. And meaning we are one. So no matter what takes place in your natural life, no matter where you go and people disappear on you, God will always be in you. God will never walk away from you. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. New Living Translation says, well, the first part of the verse says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. That's a good message right there. But that's not what we're highlighting today. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Why? So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. No matter what the season looks like, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? God is with us. I love that verse in the Message Bible. It says, since God assured us, I'll never let you down. I'll never walk off and leave you. How many of you have been stranded in one form or another? I don't know. Ladies, you can relate to that a little bit more than the men in a degree, right? But let's make it basic and general. Somebody was supposed to do something for you, and it was key. Let's make it real down home. You needed money. And somebody told you they were going to lend you or give you that money. So you made plans based on that promise. And then when the time came for the exchange, you were slapping the air because they weren't there. For whatever reason. In that time, you can feel like, now what do I do now? What's my next resource? Don't panic. Don't fear. I don't care what the report is. I don't care how barren the season looks. God is with you. God will never abandon you. He will never leave you flat. Romans 8, 31, chapter 8, verse 31. Remember I said God is with us, God is in us, and God is for us. He wants us to win. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I don't care what the opposition looks like. God is for us. Psalm 37, another key foundational principle as we're walking through seasons in life. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. And it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Why? For the Lord upholds them by the hand. So as we navigate and go through seasons, as we are turning curves, and sometimes it feels uphill, sometimes when we're just standing still and everybody else seems to be making progress, they're prospering, they're advancing, they're doing things that we've always wanted to do, and we're standing there going, but God, why are you telling me to stand here? Why are you not letting me move? The Lord directs our steps. So never be moved by somebody else's season. Never be led by somebody else's season. You can pray for them. You can praise God for the success of their seasons. But trust God that if he tells you to stand still, he's directing your steps. If he tells you to move forward, he's directing your steps. If he tells you to go back, he's directing your steps. These are foundational principles that we must hold fast to as we walk through the seasons of our lives. And it doesn't apply just to the young. It doesn't apply just to the older. It applies to all of us. Psalm 138, verse 8. This is another foundational principle we have to hold fast to as we're walking through seasons in our lives. Psalm 138, verse 8, out of the New King James Bible says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. That's one of my foundational scriptures. That word perfect in Strong's means God will complete, God will perform, God will bring to an end, or he will carry out everything that pertains to us. Listen to the verse in the New Living Translation. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Now, as we're amening and glory to God, turn Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Because there is a connection between God perfecting or working out the plans for our lives and Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, and you'll understand better the connection. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. What's the key word in that sentence? So we saw previously our steps are ordered by the Lord, right? So we saw here that God will perfect or God will complete, God will perform, God will bring to an end that which concerns us. The Lord works out his plans for our lives. But the qualifier, family, is our allowing him to do it. The qualifier is our, if he's leading, what are we supposed to be doing? So if God tells us what his plan is for us in 5 years, but he doesn't tell us to take a step towards it, are we supposed to move? Let him perfect that which concerns you. Because if he's telling you in 5 years, in 15 months, in 25 years, whatever it is, if he's telling you that's what he's going to do, that's what's going to happen, then let God work that out. You're not ready for it to happen now. Trust him. He knows a whole lot more than we do. Last key foundational point we're going to address today. And we're not finished. We're going somewhere with this. Thank you, Elder Bill. Romans, you're in Romans chapter 8, drop down to verse 28. So think about seasons we've talked about so far. Think about experiences, seasons you've walked through in life. Think about the changes, the adjustments, the things you had to change your thoughts, your perspective on, the things you've had to learn to apply, some things you had to let go of, right? Now let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 in the New Living Translation. And we know that God causes everything, what things? To work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Listen to it in the Amplified Bible. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and are called according to his plan and purpose. How many of you are called according to God's purpose? How many of you love God? Then I declare to you, he will work out everything in your life and bring it out for good. It does not say, family, that it looks good. It does not say that it feels good. It does not even say that it makes sense. That's called faith. But the Word of God says that God, because he cares deeply about us, he calls it all to work together, fitting into his plan and purpose for our lives. Those words work together in Strong's means God causes all things to cooperate with, to help and put forth power to assist his plan for our lives. Makes it a whole lot clearer, right? So we don't have to look at stuff as, oh, that's good. Oh, that's not so good. Oh, yeah, that's favorable. I don't know about that thing over there. God will work it for our good. Trust him. So now we're going to go back. I should have asked this question before, but I'll ask it now. What is the primary thing that distinguishes one season from another? Someone said it. Change. Thank you, Baraka. Change, as we said, is to make different, to alter, to give a different position, and it's to make a shift from one perspective or one position to another. Now let's look at John chapter 15 again, verse 2 in the Amplified Bible. And it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues, what is that word? So in other words, as we're walking through the seasons of life, guess what God expects us to be doing? Bearing fruit. Read the whole sentence. Every branch that continues to bear fruit, and this is how it reads in the Amplified Bible, he repeatedly prunes. So we're walking out life, right? We're walking out the seasons, right? And God is continually pruning us. Why? To produce more better fruit. I shared with you before. Prune means to cut off, to cut back for better shape, or to become more fruitful in growth. It's to remove anything that's considered undesirable. Deacon Shura, could you please bring me that plant? Now, I went online looking up all these different definitions, but I was impressed on Friday. The woman that handles the ministry's plants and all of the flowers, God had brought her up in my spirit while I was praying Friday morning before I left the house. And so when I pulled into the parking lot on Friday for work, guess who pulled into the parking lot? That woman. So I looked at her. Now, Deacon Shira, you're going to be my Vanna. You're going to be my Shira today. It's okay. It's okay. She didn't know I was going to have her stand here with it. So I talked with the woman who's a professional, whatever you call these people. I call her the plant lady. So that's, she loves that name. She does. So I asked her, what is the purpose of pruning? And she said, basically to promote and create new growth. I said, what is the process of pruning? She said, cutting or pinching off and clearing out any dead wood or stems. Everybody can see these are considered dead wood or stems. I said, why do you do that? She said, pruning a plant's branches causes the crown of the plant to flourish. Because as a plant grows, it grows out and down. And it takes away from the crown, the top of it. This is the strength and the value of the plant. So when we prune off, when God prunes off that which is unnecessary, that which is hanging down, that which is superfluous or has no life to it, it strengthens the crown. It strengthens the purpose of our life and it brings God glory. Thank you, Deacon Shira. So, as I had to learn to say, let God prune. Many times we think, ouch, that hurt. Sometimes pruning is uncomfortable, and we don't even realize we're going through it. Now, we're going to go into the book of Acts, and we're going to look at an example of an unforeseen change in season. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 36, just to highlight one person in a relationship. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Verses 26 and 27. Now, this is after Saul's conversion. When Saul, who we later know as the Apostle Paul, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. Why do you think they were afraid of him? Because he was previously trying to kill them until he met Jesus on the road of Damascus. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So what was Barnabas's purpose there? Barnabas was the one that actually validated or verified that Paul was truly a believer. Barnabas was the one they already knew Saul was the one they did not know. So God used Barnabas to hook up with Saul and say, he's for real. So he became Saul's verification. Acts chapter 11. And we're now going to look at the relationship that developed between Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 11, verses 24 and 20 through 26. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. So here we see God established the relationship and ultimately the ministry of Barnabas and Saul. So they were partners in ministry. Say the word season. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the Black Man, this is the New Living Translation, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul, verse 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, what were they doing? The Holy Spirit said, who said it? I'm making it very clear because I want us to understand God did this. God established this relationship. God established this season. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. The King James says, separate. So this was God, the Holy Spirit, bringing them out and sending them out into ministry. This started Paul's first missionary journey. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on him and sent them on their way. Drop down to verses 4 and 5. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. I'm saying that clearly. There's a point. Say the word season. Drop down verses 13 and 14. If you're taking notes, write the words changing seasons. Verses 13 and 14, changing seasons. Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Perga. There, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. Verse 14 is key. But Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. John Mark did what? But what did Paul and Barnabas do? In seasons. Deacon Cheryl, I need you again. I know I'm going to get, she's going to have a look for me after service, but it'll be okay. So I need us to lock arms together. So we're in a season together, right? And God has told us we're walking to Linda. So we're walking. No, we're going to start on the same left foot. So we're walking in agreement and in unity because we're in season and we're walking together. As we're walking, we're accomplishing the part that God has called us to do. Now, James, come here. You're going to get on this side. So John Mark comes along too. And we're walking together in this season. John Mark leaves us. What are we supposed to do? We keep walking. Point in the message. There will be seasons in your life. People will start with you. Organizations will agree with you. Jobs will come to you. Relationships will begin. And for whatever reason, when the season ends or changes, hold fast to what God told you to do. If the person, the relationship, the organization, the job, the situation changes, hold fast to what God told you to do. If he says continue, keep walking out your season. Thank you both very much. Deacon Cheryl, I can't promise I'm not going to call you again, but we'll see. But do you understand the point? So John Mark started with them and then he left. But Paul and Barnabas continued traveling inland to Antioch of Pisidia. Listen in Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas continued in ministry. John Mark left. They continued. So now Acts chapter 14 is very key, because throughout Acts chapter 14, I encourage you to read it on your own time. You will see all of the places that God took Barnabas and Saul, all of the places they ministered to together. Do you think they were close? Do you think they trusted one another? Do you think that they had a bond together and they went through some stuff together? Okay. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 26, New Living Translation. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord. So they were establishing churches. It was not just Paul. It was Barnabas also. So they established churches and to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Then they traveled back through Pisidia to Pamphylia. They preached the word in Perga, then went down to Attalia. Finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey began. So they went a whole full circle, and that took more than a day or a week, family. So they spent time together. Now let's go to Acts chapter 15. And let's go to verses 36 and 41. And if you're taking notes, right next to that, change in season. Verses 36 through 41. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." Barnabas agreed. So there was agreement between them. They were still heading in the same direction. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. Who was John Mark? The one who started with them, but he left. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Change in season. They didn't disagree over the gospel. They didn't disagree over we should go back and go visit the places we just went to. They disagreed over a person. Very key. Be mindful as you go through seasons and your seasons are connected with people. Your attachment and your commitment to people. Because when God says sever, when God says step away, when God says move on, that may mean that person is not going with you for whatever reason. Be willing to know you will have bonds, you will have relationships, you will have commitments. And I'm not talking about marriages separating. Hear me clearly, family. I'm not giving anybody any license to say, well, Minister D said I can leave her over here because that one there looking real good to me. No, I did not. And parents, that does not mean you put Johnny and Susie out the house because you want to separate from taking care of them. Dependent children, and that's another story. But in the change, they had a disagreement, and they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. There was the separation between Barnabas and Saul, right? They had the disagreement over John Mark. But what was the end result? What was the end result of their decision, of their separation? They continued in the plan and the call that God gave them. They just did no longer do it together. The gospel was not hindered. If anything, there were now four instead of two. So never think that that separation in season is meant for your harm or for your depletion. Let God prune to bring forth growth, to bring forth advancement. So when John Mark stepped out, Silas was there. So when Barnabas went and took John Mark this way, Paul took Silas that way. They had more territory to cover, and the gospel continued. So even in changing seasons, God will perfect everything that pertains to us. Do not think when one season ends that your life has stopped. Do not think that one door closes that your value has ended. God will work it out to fulfill his purpose and plan for your lives. Let God walk us through and prune as he will through the seasons. And I've heard a lot throughout my Christian life about what happened with John Mark and, you know, why he left them. And all of it is just subjective. The Bible doesn't tell us all the details. But one thing stands out clear, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Whatever took place between John Mark and Paul, whatever disagreement Paul and Barnabas had, because Paul didn't find John Mark faithful because he left them at one point in ministry, whatever time it took, when we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, the apostle Paul is at the end of his life, and he's talking to his son Timothy, and he's telling them how everybody else has left him. And what does he say? Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Let God prune in a season. Because what we may not be mature enough to handle in one season, let him cut it away so that when we walk into another one, we can then embrace and hold the value of what he took away then because we can handle it now. Trust the gardener. Trust the vine. Trust the gardener. Trust his cutting. Trust that it's not for our harm. When he says we seem to be quiet and stand still and say nothing, trust him. When he says run and make a shout, trust him. When he's bringing new things in, trust him. When he's leading things away, trust him. That is the foundation of our Christian walk, our trust, our confident assurance in God. Now, I want to read that same verse in the Message Bible. I love the way it's put. Luke is the only one here with me. Bring Mark with you. He'll be my right-hand man since I'm sending Tychicus to Ephesus. So at one place in a season, John Mark was not worth Paul taking on because he left at a point in ministry. But Paul had gone through some things. Paul had been shipwrecked. Paul had been in prison. Paul had been chained. He had been beaten. And I don't know about you, but life, the weathering of life, has a way of bringing us to a place of wisdom. Sometimes it helps us clear out all the things that we thought were so important and so, you know, serious, and we had to have them. And then when you've gone through some things, you see what's really valuable. And things that we thought were so important, I gotta have it this way, and I'm not gonna make a move if I don't. And when we've gone through some things and God says, now go over there, then there's no hesitation. So at this stage in his life, after Paul had been through all of that, he says, bring Mark with you. I'll make him my right-hand man. Bible commentaries say that the sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, and in some translations it says that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin, Paul refused to take John Mark with him on another missionary journey. They did not agree on that. However, later in Paul's life, Paul reconciled with John Mark while he was in prison. An interesting point, as I said before, initially there was Barnabas and Saul, the two, and they did the first missionary journey. There was the change of season, the separation. John Mark left. Barnabas and Saul disagreed, and they decided to separate, but they lacked nothing in their calling because God gave Barnabas John Mark, and he gave Saul Silas. And the work of the kingdom continued. I just ask this as a question. Is it possible God pruned Paul and Barnabas' relationship in order to produce more excellent fruit? I just ask that as a question. It's not a great revelation. It's just a question. Seasons in our lives are the chapters of the book that God has written about us. But the success of us going through those seasons requires us to remember, rehearse, and hold fast to the foundational principles of faith, trusting God, submitting and obedience, and knowing that he's with us, he's for us, and he's in us. That he will never leave us. That he will perfect and work out even the ugly things. Even the hard things, even what seems, what is it that seems barren to you? What is it that seems that nothing is happening? Would you believe that where there is quiet, you hear my voice? Would you believe that when there's silence and there's no one else around you, you have me undivided attention? Make the most of this season. It's not barren by my choice, God says. It's not quiet because something's wrong. I am actually fortifying you. I am actually building you up, and I am strengthening you. So as you stand in this place of quiet, as you stand in this place where there seems isolation, as you stand in this place where it seems nothing is happening at all, trust in my plan for your life. Because as this season comes to an end, and my child, it is so quickly about to end, you are going to step into a new season of productivity, of advancement, and of growth that you would not be able to exist in if I didn't have you in the season of quiet now. So take my resources, my word and my spirit, and let me build you up. So as you stand in this season, you will exit to enter to produce greater fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seasons will bring changes. Allow God to walk us through the changes. Allow God to prune us for better growth. Change is absolutely necessary for our growth. Growth is essential for our lives. So as Christians, we will walk through changing seasons. It's not a bad thing. It will walk us into the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for our life. He is simply just turning a page in the book that he's written about us. Let him turn the page at the pace he's chosen to. And as he turns, he will bring you forward into the next season. For in that season is the productivity and the growth and the advancement that God has planned for each of us to walk out in our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.